Thank you so much for taking time to listen to this week's message. It's our hope that this resource will grow you in your faith, hope, and love for Jesus. Please help us get the word out by following us on social media and sharing resources just like this. And if this message has inspired you to take your next step in faith, please let us know by reaching out to us through social media or the church office. We are praying and believing that God will change you through His word today. Blessings.
We continue today in the series of messages that I began last Sunday morning on questions in the Bible. We looked first of all at the very first question in the Bible in Genesis chapter 3 verse 1, which interestingly is not a question from God, but a question that comes from the enemy of our souls. The serpent, the devil, came to Eve with the question, did God really say? And I answered that question last Sunday morning by saying, yes, God really did say, and what God says is pure. Every word of God is pure. What God says is power. God says, is not my word like a fire and like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces? For the word of the Lord is living and powerful, we read in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. What God says is preserved. Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. And the prophet said, the grass withers, the flowers fall, but the word of our God endures forever. What God says is proclaimed. How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news, who proclaim peace, who bring good tidings, who proclaim salvation, who say to Zion, your God reigns. Let me ask you today, does your God reign? Is God reigning in your heart and your life? The Apostle John wrote to the church and said, that which we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you that you might have fellowship with us, and our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son. Now, if you skipped church last Sunday, it's okay. You're all caught up now in this series. But in all seriousness, I can't emphasize enough how important it is to hear and to obey God. To hear and obey what God says. How we answer this very first question that I dealt with last Sunday morning. How we answer that question determines our lives and our destiny. Adam and Eve heard. They heard God's commandment, what God said in the garden. They fully understood it. God made it crystal clear. There was no doubt. And yet they did not obey. They willfully partook of the one tree in the garden that God said was off limits. And when they did, their eyes were opened to their sin and their guilt. And this is where we pick up the story. I told you we were going to be in Genesis chapter 3 for a few weeks. This is where we pick up the story now as we come to the second question in the Bible and the second question in this series of messages here in Genesis chapter 3, verses 8 and 9. We see the vain and utterly futile response of Adam and Eve to their sin as they sought to hide from God. And then comes the all-important question from God. And look at this. Look at this now. Genesis chapter 3, verses 8 and 9. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord among the trees of the garden. Then the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, "Where are you?" There's the question. Where are you? And we're looking at this question today because this is not a one-time isolated call to Adam. This is a call to all of us. Adam's story is our story. We hide and God seeks. The entire human race has been hiding and God has been seeking from the moment that sin entered the picture. We have inherited the sin nature from Adam. I'm sure we all have played the game hide and seek. You played that as a child. Maybe you play it with your grand. I played it with our grandchildren this past week. And maybe you play with your children, your grandchildren. I remember playing hide and seek with my older brother, and no matter how hard I tried to hide, and sometimes I thought I found the perfect hiding spot, he would always find me. Some people today play hide and seek very well. And for some, it's a way of life. But I've got news for you today. How many of you know today you cannot hide from God? You cannot hide from God. David knew and understood this. He said to God, "Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there." There is no hiding from God. But this is what Adam and Eve tried to do. They tried to flee from the presence of God, to hide from God. It's what we might call the hiding reflex. We all have it. We're born with it. I want you to understand something here. Please understand that when God said to Adam, when God called out to Adam and said, "Where are you?" it had nothing to do with location. God knew where Adam and Eve were. He knows where we are today. He knows exactly what's in your heart, where you are at this point in your life. He knows everything. The question here, I want you to get a hold of this question. Where are you? This question is God's invitation for us to be found. That's what this question's all about. This question wasn't for God's benefit. It's for our benefit. I want to take a few moments this morning to answer this question with three questions of my own. Why do we as human beings hide? How do we hide? And what happens when we hide? First question I want to deal with is this question. Why do we hide? To answer that question, we need to ask, why did Adam and Eve hide? And you say, well, that, Pastor, isn't that obvious? It was because of sin. They sinned, and that's why they were hiding. But with sin came these new emotions. Fear came into the picture. Guilt came into the picture. Shame came into the picture. A sense of separation came into the picture. Before sin, all they knew was joy, love, happiness. They were in perfect harmony with God and with one another. But then sin entered the picture. And what I want you to see here today is that sin brings fear and shame and guilt. We run and hide when we sin, when we fear, when we're hurting. We tend to run and hide. Genesis 3:10, he answered, Adam answered back to God, "I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid." Suddenly he's afraid because I was naked, so I hid. I want to tell you a story that's unbelievable. But this is a true story. I have it in a book up in my office. This is a true story. It's a story of a Japanese soldier who went into hiding toward the end of the war, and he lived in a cave on the island of Guam for 28 years. He came out only at night. He lived on frogs, rats. I was talking about lunch. I just messed up your lunch. This soldier lived on frogs, rats, snails, nuts, and mangoes. Finally, two hunters discovered him, and they told him that the war had long been over. He was free to return home. But for 28 years, it's almost incomprehensible. 28 years, he was in that cave, hiding in fear. Today, there are a lot of people that are hiding in caves. They're hiding in fear, fear of being found out, fear of facing the truth, fear of change, fear of rejection, fear of punishment. The Bible says in Hebrews 2:15, talks about people who lived all their lives in bondage to the fear of death. So with sin comes fear. And sin distorts life. It distorts the way we view ourselves, and it distorts the way we view God. But let me move on here. Just talking about why we run and hide. Here's the second question. How do we hide? I've got five suggestions here for you. And I'm a person who, I love alliterations. I work hard on getting the same letter to go with each word. So I want you to see these five words that begin with the letter A. The question is, how do we hide? Number one, avoidance. This was Adam and Eve's first strategy. They were trying to avoid God. They were trying to avoid the problem that they created in their disobedience. Avoidance is one of the primary coping strategies of life. We avoid painful things. We want to avoid confrontation, change, problems. Some people avoid going to the doctor because they don't want to get bad news. You know, the doctor might talk about surgery or worse yet, exercise. You need to exercise more. I love it when my doctor tells me that. You need to lose some weight. Some people use avoidance. I figured up the other day, 45 years I've been a pastor, and I have watched this avoidance in operation all through my ministry. I have watched Christians who avoid church. They avoid other Christians because they're going through some bad problem, maybe a nasty divorce. Maybe a person got fired from their job, or there's some kind of family crisis. And what happens? We want to run and hide. We don't want to be reminded of what we're going through. And so there's this avoidance that takes place. The problem with avoidance is it never solves a problem. It only delays the problem. Problems don't go away because we avoid them. I've got news for you. If you're a parent here and you have young children, if you fail to discipline your child early on, I guarantee you it will be a bigger problem later on. Amen? No amens on that one, okay. How did God approach this? Adam and Eve, they had avoidance. They were trying to avoid God, hiding from God. God approached this situation with directness. damage control. And here's what I love. Even after they messed up like that, and even after we mess up in our lives, here's the thing about God. God's all about life and salvation. You know what's fascinating to me when I look at Genesis chapter 3 is just a few verses down from where we were reading, verses 8 and 9. In verse 15, it's an extremely important verse in the Bible. It's called the first proclamation of the gospel. Because there, God said to the serpent, I will put enmity between you and the woman. It was a prophecy, a prophetic word about the seed, the Messiah that was going to be born to a virgin. So God already had the remedy, the solution working. And that's what I just praise God for that. Even after all that, The avoidance, God was working. Here's a second where I need to move through these. First, avoidance. Secondly, activity. People can and people do hide behind activity. Busy, busy, gotta be in motion all the time. Just busy doing something all the time. To the point where God sometimes has to come looking for us. We get so busy and so distracted. Sometimes he even has to come looking for us in church. Why do people hide behind activity? You know what I think? I think for some people, not everyone, but there are people who are just busy, busy, busy all the time. And I think for them to get alone and to be still with God and self, it can be a little scary. If you get alone with God, it's just you and God, and you spend time doing that, you might have to look at yourself. You might have to deal with some issues. God may speak some things into your life. But one thing about constant busyness and activity, it doesn't bring maturity or satisfaction to life. And you see, we have a choice. We have a choice today. We could do it our way or we could do it God's way. We could do it the easy way or we could do it the hard way. The easy way is to put God first, to keep your life in balance, to keep activity in check and make sure you got your priorities straight. The hard way is just to keep driving, keep moving, keep doing until you're stopped by illness or some family crisis or emotional and spiritual burnout. You know, I love the story of Martha and Mary. Here, Martha was a doer. It was all about activity. She was just, you know, trying to get the meal ready, which is not a bad thing. Activity can be great. It can be good. And here Martha was doing this good activity. But it was keeping her from where Jesus wanted her to be. And Jesus said to her, Martha, you're worried, you're bothered by only one thing is necessary. I want you to spend time with me. I want you to spend time listening to my word. Then I was thinking about the prophet Elijah. Here he was, boy, he was doing these great exploits for the Lord up on Mount Carmel. He was defeating these prophets of Baal. Busy, 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 working for God. And then we see the scene where fear comes in. And he's up under the juniper tree. He's flat on his back. A spiritual and emotional wreck with suicidal depression. He said, it's enough, Lord. Just take away my life. Healing came for Elijah. When he stopped running, he stopped hiding, and he was still long enough. He came out of that cave to hear the still small voice of God. Let me mention number three. The Lord gave me this one. Accomplishment. And this one, I think, is one of the most dangerous and deadly ways to hide. I really believe That the devil uses success and prosperity and materialism to damn a lot of people, to damn their souls. Remember the parable of the rich farmer, you know, here. It's a great story. It's one we need to take to heart. Here's this man. He's a hard worker. All these great characteristics. He's working hard. He's being blessed. He's prospering. He's building bigger and bigger barns. There's nothing wrong with that. It's okay. But he said in his heart, it's all for me. He ignored God. He ignored others. And God said to him, you fool, this very night, your soul will be required of you. Plaques on the wall are no substitute for piety in the heart. Assets in the bank can't buy your way out of hell or your way into heaven. What shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? Let me move on here with number four. I'm going to hit this one very quickly. Amusement. Back in 1985, a long time ago, a book came out with the title, Amusing Ourselves to Death. Now think about that. And what the author did there in that book, Amusing Ourselves to Death, he was talking about the media and all the entertainment and the sporting world, all these things that distract us. And think about that. That was before the smartphone. And all these other things. I was watching something and some news clip or something and they had, there were these four people, they weren't walking together, they were walking separately, they were on a busy street, they were all dressed really nice like they were business people, there were two women, and I believe there were two or three men, and every one of them had their phone out in front of them walking with their phone out like that, staring. You know, hey, recreation's fine, hobbies are fine, the sporting world, all of it. But it's no substitute for God, is it? Is God number one? Is He number one? Okay, I'm going to stop meddling. I'm going to get back to preaching here. I didn't get any amens on that, but that's all right. I'm going to keep preaching whether you say amen or not. Okay. It's a good one. Number five. Acting. You could say pretending. Going through the motions. Spiritual lukewarmness. This was the situation with the church of Laodicea. When Jesus spoke to the seven churches in the book of Revelation, this one church, oh man, they had everything. They had programs. They had plenty of money coming in. All of it was great. But you know what they were doing? They were pretending. They were going through the motions. Jesus said to that church, I would that you were hot or cold, but because you're lukewarm, I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. He said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. You're in there hiding. You're pretending. You're just going through the motions. I'm knocking at the door. If you open the door, I'll come in. I'll come in. God knows our hearts. He knows when we're just going through the motions or we're just acting. So here's the final question today. What happens when we hide or we attempt to hide from God? This is the part. I said everything else. this is the part that makes me rejoice, because I'll tell you what happens. God seeks for us. God finds us. God restores us. That's what he did for Adam and Eve. Even after they messed up, they royally, totally messed up. And God found them. And you know what God did? God made provision for them. He covered them with clothing from the skin of animals, which meant that that was the first blood sacrifice. God made the first blood sacrifice for them. And you see, God didn't come storming into the garden like a five-star general. God didn't send angelic troops in there to arrest Adam and Eve so that they could be tried, sentenced, and executed. Even though God told them, hey, if you eat of this one tree, do not eat of the fruit of this tree. Even though he said that and that they would die, here's the kind of God I want you to get hold of this. Here's the God we serve. And it brings up the question, what is God like? I'll tell you what God's like. God is like a shepherd who goes to extremes to find that one lost sheep. God is like a woman who would turn her house upside down looking for that lost coin. God is like a father who's there waiting for his lost son to come home, and when he sees him a long way off, he's moved with compassion and he runs out to his son and he tells his servant, bring a robe and cover him. Bring sandals for his feet and a ring for his hand. This son of mine that was lost has come home. He's found. And that's the kind of God we serve. Jesus said, I have come to seek and to save the lost. You talk about vision. I have come to seek and to save the lost. And he proved it. He made provision. He gave his own blood. His own blood on the cross. He gave his life to cover our sins. And he seeks after us. Some have referred to God as the hound of heaven. If you have a lost son or daughter or someone in your family, a neighbor, a friend, keep praying. Because I believe God is seeking for them. And he's seeking for you today. Look, I'm going to close here. If you've been trying to run and hide from God, I want to ask you this. Are you willing to be found today? Are you willing to be found? In the book of James, chapter 4, there's a verse that says, God says, draw near to me, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. It's so true. So he's calling us today. Is there anything that you're putting before him that's a problem? You can come today.